Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast, and this is Pat Iyer today talking with a person who I have known for at least 30 years, who is an experienced legal nurse consultant. She is a board-certified legal nurse consultant, which means that she passed the exam that is sponsored through the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants. My guest today is Jane Barone. She began her career as a legal nurse consultant in 1985. That is many years ago, Jane. You must have been one of the earliest legal nurse consultants to be involved in the field.
Yes, as a matter of fact, when I started out, the term legal nurse consultant had not even been coined yet.
I remember that. We were calling ourselves medical legal consultants, right? Nurse paralegal was another one.
Right. I was called a nurse paralegal initially.
Ah, okay. Well, I know that we'll talk about how you got into the field, and I know that you worked in-house for a law firm and then went out on your own. You are currently the founder of MedLaw Solutions, which is based in New Jersey, and you were also very involved in establishing the chapter for the New Jersey chapter of the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants.
That is true.
Well, let's talk about how you got started, Jane, because, you know, you were in a populated state where nobody had heard of legal nurse consultants. How did you get that first position working in a law firm?
Well, actually, I answered an ad in the paper for an attorney who was very forward-thinking, a woman attorney who realized that with the asbestos litigation that she was involved in, she needed someone to look at medical records and decipher what was in those records. So I was fortunate enough to get the job, and I was basically her ghostwriter for several years, and it allowed me to cut my teeth on what it was like to work in a law firm and what it was like to be a legal nurse consultant.
When you say you were her ghostwriter, what do you mean?
Well, we put together very large, extensive reports. This particular attorney was involved in just the medical aspects of asbestos litigation for the defense. So she represented multiple defendants in cases and just looked at the medical aspect of the litigation. So I would review medical records and prepare this report for her. And this report mm-hmm. went out. All of her clients.
And that asbestos litigation, boy, that reminds me of the expression, the gift that keeps on giving. I think it was originally applied to sexually transmitted diseases, in the sense that asbestos has involved suing so many defendants. I think there are still lawsuits going on today, 30 years later,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, there definitely are. Like you said, it's a litigation that just never stops. And I thought way back in the early 90s when I left that firm and went on to doing medical malpractice with a plaintiff attorney, at that point I thought that it was probably coming to an end, but it never did.
Mm-hmm. And there still is asbestos in the air. In fact, I just saw a something in the newspaper about how a building was being torn down, and the contractors who were tearing down the building didn't use the appropriate asbestos containment procedures, and there was concern that it had been released into the air in that several block radius, and people were very concerned about the health effects of it. So I guess it will be with us for a long time.
I think so.
Well, you got involved helping this female attorney with the asbestos litigation. What skills did you use during that first part of your career that you think are critical for legal nurse consultants to have when they are beginning in their field?
Well, especially with this job and all legal nurse consulting jobs, it's really important that you have good writing skills. And when I did go to work for this attorney, she was very good, and she had classes held about writing skills for all of her staff. And it's a key thing.
Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people who come out of legal nurse consulting programs, excited and enthusiastic about getting business, come into the field believing that it's going to be easy to get started. Have you encountered people who have that perspective? And if so, what would you say to a person about getting started and finding clients?
Well, yes, there are, you know, I have met many people who do feel that way, that it's going to be really easy. And some of it's, I would call that one of the myths of legal nurse consulting. You really have to be persistent. Be persistent in networking. Always keep it in the forefront of your mind when you're talking to people. You have to network and be persistent.
Mm-hmm. And by networking, have you found any techniques that are effective in connecting with attorneys?
Well, I think it's key that you get involved with your local lawyers meetings, such as NJAJ, which is New Jersey Association of Justice. There are Association of Justice throughout the country in every state, and I would advise getting involved with them.
And the Association for Justice tends to focus on plaintiff attorneys, although I think there are some defense attorneys who attend the annual meetings of the associations, I think primarily because the education that's provided to plaintiff attorneys is usually of a very high caliber, and the defense attorneys are there wanting to learn what their adversaries are learning. When you've been involved in Association for Justice meetings, have you been an exhibitor? Have you been a presenter? Have you been doing something else at those conferences?
I've been both an exhibitor and a presenter, yes. It gives you great exposure to a large number of attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And any tips that you can share about being an exhibitor at an attorney conference?
Well, being an exhibitor, you can't just go once and say, oh, I exhibited and I'm going to get all these referrals. It doesn't happen that way. You have to exhibit continually over a long period of time so that the attorneys know that you're real and that you're not going to go away.
That's a good point, because you and I have exhibited at New Jersey Association for Justice conferences probably for about the same number of years. And you get to know the attorneys that way. They get comfortable with you. They enjoy talking to you and meeting a person who they'll be working with in the future. But like you, I thought I would get instant gratification and I would walk away with red wells under my arm after every show, and I discovered it didn't turn out that way.
No, it doesn't.
Another interesting aspect about this, Jane, have you noticed that you might meet an attorney and it might be 6 months or a year later and the attorney is calling you from an exhibit that you were at in the past?
Definitely. That's happened several times to me where I've almost forgotten who this person was, but I look back in my database and I see that I did meet them at one of the exhibits, and you keep your name, if you exhibit, you keep your name out there for a long period of time, and the attorneys don't always need you right when, at the time of the exhibit, but they will come back, you know, several months later if they like you.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever tried exhibiting at a defense conference?
Not specifically a defense conference, but I have exhibited at the Bar Association, which tends to be a little more defense-oriented. I didn't find that I got much out of that type of exhibiting, but that was just me.
I have heard from legal nurse consultants that Bar Association meetings, particularly the annual meetings, have any attorney who is licensed to practice in the state is eligible for attending that conference. So you don't have a concentration of medical malpractice and personal injury attorneys who are typically the people who go to, say, the Association for Justice conferences. You've got real estate and intellectual property, family law, criminal attorneys, not attorneys who are criminals, but attorneys who practice in the criminal law area. But it's a very diverse population. Is that what you found when you were exhibiting?
Yes, I definitely did. And so since most of my work is centered around plaintiff attorneys, medical malpractice and personal injury, again, I didn't find it that valuable.
Mm-hmm. And I know that DRI, which is the Defense Research Institute in the United States, has annual meetings, and presumably they also have statewide meetings. Have you ever exhibited at one of their conferences?
I haven't exhibited at one of their conferences, but when I was working for the defense asbestos attorney, I did attend several DRIs. And they were valuable for what I was doing at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just have noticed that in my experience, the DRI has not been particularly aggressive about trying to recruit new exhibitors or encouraging exhibitors. I had a conversation several years ago with somebody in our state who was afraid of having exhibitors at the conference because they might try to sell to the attendees, which of course is the whole point of having an exhibitor there at your conference, not only to underwrite your costs, but also to provide your members with opportunities to learn about new vendors. And he was so opposed to it that I dropped the idea and never pursued any further plans to exhibit for the DRI in my state, but it could be entirely different in other parts of the country, or they also have national conferences where they may be very open to exhibitors and want to have legal nurse consultants there as exhibitors. I just personally haven't had any experience about it, and I was wondering if you had any different experience than I had on that point.
I've never exhibited at DRI, so I really never pursued it.
Mm-hmm. Let me stop this program for a minute to discuss a book I wrote that covers this topic. It's called How to Grow Your LNC Business, Secrets of Success. It's one of my books specifically for legal nurse consultants. Section 1 asks the provocative question, are you your friend or enemy? Mindset matters for success. Get inspired by the techniques for tackling adversity. Section 2 helps you take advantage of one of the best ways to grow your business, to teach attorneys. Making presentations to attorneys is an excellent way to demonstrate your expertise and prove your value. Four powerful chapters give you the specifics on preparing for and delivering a polished professional presentation. And section three is pure inspiration. Five experienced legal nurse consultants share their stories of how they got started and grew their business. They reveal their triumphs and challenges. Get your copy at the show notes for podcast.legalnursebusiness.com and use the code LISTEN to get a 25% discount on the book. Put that code in the promo code box when you check out and you'll get the discount. That site, again, where you can get information about the book is the show notes at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. Now let's return to the show. We were talking earlier about how you got started in legal nurse consulting, working with asbestos litigation, and then went on to work in a plaintiff firm, which I think is when you and I met. You were involved in working for a group of attorneys. I remember in particular that they were responsible, and presumably with you behind them, for some really significant verdicts and cases. And then you left that firm and started your own independent legal nurse consulting company. Which role did you enjoy more and why?
Well, you know, I really can't pick one over the other. When I was working for the plaintiff Med-Mal attorney, I was able to do all of the background work that was needed for cases, everything from interviewing the client on the phone when they make their initial call to the office, and then I would make a decision whether to bring that plaintiff into the office for an informal interview, and then we would get medical records, and then review the records and review them with a potential expert. And then once, as the case proceeded, I would even be able to go attend trial occasionally. So I really had the whole background, the whole, I had everything behind me, which was very interesting. And then when I went on my own, it was I liked that because I had more freedom to do what I wanted to do. So I really can't say that one was better over the other.
It sounds to me as if one of the big advantages that you had was learning while you were on somebody else's dime, if I can put it that way, how to be most useful as a legal nurse consultant. I would think that background experience that you had when you started your own business would have been invaluable when you were working on your own.
Yes, it definitely was. In fact, when I started out as legal nurse consultant, there were no courses out there. So what I did learn, I learned on the job training.
That is true. You were, as we talked about earlier in the show, one of the first wave of nurses who discovered a way to help attorneys using your nursing knowledge well before there were online courses, community college courses, private courses. You were one of the first.
That's true.
When you went out on your own, were there ways in which you could use your connections with attorneys to get your own clients, or did you have to start from scratch in terms of marketing and building up a client base?
Well, most of the attorneys that I knew when I left were either asbestos attorneys or attorneys who were referred to the attorney that I worked for. So I found that although I didn't have to start exactly from scratch, there really weren't that many people that I could tap into.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really starting from scratch.
Uh-huh. Tell us about a case that really left an impression on you, and maybe starting first with the medical malpractice cases that you worked on while you were an in-house nurse. Is there something that comes to your mind that really gripped you?
Well, one of the most interesting cases that I was involved in was what they call a bad baby case. In other words, the baby was born with cerebral palsy as a result of negligence. And that case we worked up from beginning to end, and also took it to trial. And at the time, this was in the 90s, the verdict was a $10 million verdict, which was the highest verdict ever at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a very interesting case.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That was a very significant verdict for the 1990s. And I am sure warranted by all of the damages and the ongoing care that this child required.
Yes, that's true.
What about a case that you find, now that you've been in practice since 2003, I guess that's about 16 years, what would be a memorable case that you worked on after you started your business?
Well, there was a case involving a railroad accident where the plaintiff lost three limbs. So it's really catastrophic. And that case went to trial as well. I don't remember exactly what the verdict was, but it was in the millions.
Hmm. How did the accident occur?
He was working in a railroad, and he was standing on the edge of one of the trains, and they accidentally moved the train as he was on it. He fell off and went underneath the train.
Ouch. Oh, I can see why the injuries would be catastrophic.
Yes.
Well, you have clearly succeeded in a field that's very competitive. What are some of the tips that you would share with people who are building a career as a legal nurse consultant, who have aspirations to do this work full time? They're perhaps in the beginning to middle stages of their business. What do you think would be a good piece of advice for people who are at that point?
Well, I would recommend that you join the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants and get involved in your local chapter. Again, you might not walk away with 10 cases after you go to the first meeting, but it's very invaluable to have people to network with that do what you do and understand the things that you need to do.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there are places in the country that do not have active chapters at this point. But I believe there are at least a couple of chapters that are virtual where people attend the meetings remotely. I'm not sure, is it the Orlando chapter or the West Virginia chapter that does that? I'm not positive.
Yeah, I believe it is the West Virginia chapter that does that.
Okay. So the education and networking, although maybe not possible in person everywhere where people are listening to this program, but remote access is available. Are there any tips that you would recommend to a person who has an established business and wants to grow it even further?
Well, again, I would just say it's important to really network and talk to other legal nurse consultants and talk to attorneys. Again, network. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Now you're at a point now, you've been doing this for 35 years. You're looking back and you're saying, what would I do differently if I were entering the field fresh as a person getting involved in legal nurse consulting? What would you tell yourself you should have done differently?
Well, I honestly have thought about that question for some time, and I don't think there is anything that I would do differently. I've been fortunate to do this for over 35 years, and I just go with the flow, and I've been very fortunate.
What do you attribute your fortune to, being fortunate?
Again, being persistent, never giving up.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, in other words, take advantage of the people that you meet. Always keep in the back of your mind that you're a legal nurse consultant and you have a business, and think about how, when you meet people, how you might be able to put yourself out there.
You know, I've used this story before, but probably not everybody listening has heard this. I was coaching a legal nurse consultant who was very good at networking, and she told me about how she went to the dentist, and she was telling the receptionist, I have a new business, I'm a legal nurse consultant, here's one of my pens. And the receptionist at the dentist office said, oh, my son is an attorney, and he does personal injury work. I'll give your information to him. And there was a man sitting in the dentist reception area waiting to be seen who said, I couldn't help but overhear. I have a nephew who is an attorney, and he handles car accident cases. I'll take your information, too. You know, she went there to get her teeth cleaned, and she was just talking about what she was doing and ended up with two prospects as a result.
Exactly. That's exactly how it works. You never know who knows who or what, and again, just keep it out there.
Mm-hmm. And the question that I wanted to also ask you, you've mentioned being involved in ALNC, and I know you were involved in starting and helping to maintain the New Jersey chapter. How has being a member of ALNC affected your career?
Well, it's always good to know that there are other people out there who, if you have a question or you have a situation that you don't know how to deal with it, there's other people, the people at ALNC can help you out. And they also help you out by networking. You know, if, for example, one nurse has a specific specialty and she gets a case in that doesn't match with her specialty, you have your other nurses in ALNC that you can refer this case to.
Mm-hmm. So it is an extension of your network, a way for you to be able to help your clients without having to go back to them and saying, sorry, I can't assist you, you know, good luck, which doesn't right. really help the attorney when he or she gets a response like that.
Right, exactly.
My last question for you is, I know that listeners are going to be intrigued by your background. How can they find out more about your company and about you?
Well, I'm on the web at MediLaw Solutions. That's MediLaw Solutions with an S on the end .com. And my email address is j.barone, B-A-R-O-N-E, at MediLawSolutions.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Jane, for being part of this program and sharing your experience with our listeners. It's been a pleasure talking with you this morning.
You as well. Thank you very much.
And this has been Pat Iyer and Jane Barone talking about some of the challenges of getting started as a legal nurse consultant, some of the experiences that Jane has had both working in-house as well as an independent legal nurse consultant, and how she has built her business with persistence. That's a word that has come up several times, not giving up, being determined, and sticking through the challenges of a business that's highly competitive in a high stakes aspect of law. Tune in again next week. We'll have a new interview, and be sure to go to iTunes and like the show and give us feedback and comments. We appreciate that. And you can see the show notes at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. Be sure to get a copy of How to Grow Your LNC Business Secrets of Success. You'll read my practical advice having been in your seat running a successful legal nurse consulting business. Go to podcast.legalnursebusiness.com and be sure to write a review for us on iTunes telling the world how you appreciate Legal Nurse Podcast. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on legalnursebusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at legalnursebusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.